If you will, this morning, turn with me back to Titus 3, where you will find our text this morning. Our text is found in Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. And they read this way. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this time to be here once again this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we have to assemble. I thank You, Lord, for the freedom that we have in Thee. I thank You, Lord, for the week that You have brought us through, for the trials, the hardships, the physical problems, the surgeries, the things, Lord, that Thou has ordained for this body of people. And in Thy faithfulness, and in Thy love, and in Thy mercy have brought us through each and every one. Lord, I pray at this time, in this next hour, that You would be pleased to take our minds off of all those things that You have brought us through, and that You'd bring our minds captive to Thee, to who You are. For truly, Lord, Thou art worthy, but we need to be shown that You are worthy, Lord. Lord, may You put down those wayward thoughts and bring all of our thoughts captive unto Thee. Lord, bring us to Thy feet to be instructed. And Lord, if it be in Thy mercy today, if Thou would be pleased to allow crumbs to fall from Thy table to feed our souls, Lord, we would be grateful and thankful, Lord, for we would know great things Thou hast done. Lord, attend this time with Thy power and give us clarity of mind. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my greatest desire for you, and my greatest desire for me, is to live and to have an abundant life in Christ Jesus. To live abundantly in Christ Jesus. To live on Christ Jesus. To live in His abundant life and mercy and grace. That's my greatest wish for you. It's my greatest wish for me, is that we can live an abundant life in Christ Jesus. And why do I say abundant life? Because Jesus Himself in John 10:10, and we know John 10 as the shepherd chapter, where He proclaims that He is our shepherd, and that we are His sheep. And in John 10:10, He says, "The thief comes not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." His sheep. "I am the shepherd, and I have come to them that they might have life." But He doesn't stop there. He says, "And that they might have it more abundantly." The child of God has a more abundant life than anyone in this world. Now think about that. We all know rich people. We all know the people in this life that have abundance of goods, that have bigger houses, that have swimming pools, that have the newest of cars, that have better health than we have, that have the things of this world. And yet the Scripture tells us this morning, Christ says that I came to give my sheep not only life, but to give them abundant life. And that abundance is life more than any man outside of Christ can ever have. Any life that more than your fallen nature could ever wish for yourselves. And we do lust for things. But the Lord says that He came. He came to give abundant life to His body, to His sheep, to His church. And that's what our text is telling us today. Paul tells us in our text that it's by His mercy that He saved us. And He's emphatically telling us that it's not in anything that we've done. He says it's by the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So the abundance of life comes through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come anywhere else. So as you're looking for those things in this life and in this world, for the child of God, you won't find them there. The world will find them there because that's all they have. But you won't find Christ there. And you won't find the abundance of Christ in the things of this world. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:9, he said, "Who hath saved us," referring to Christ, "and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us as a gift in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before there was ever a world full of things, full of riches that we would call it, full of worldly things that man in his fallen mind has said, this is worth something. Have you ever thought about that? The very things that we work for, the very things that are called precious in this life, is because man has said they are. Pieces of paper with numbers on them. Gold, silver, the things that we can barter and trade with. Man has said, those are the things you need. And we drink that right down. And we say, yeah, we can't live without that. We have to have that. And Christ says, I came to give you more abundance of life. I gave you life, but there's more an abundance of life in me than there ever will be in those things. And the Lord has to teach us that. Because every day we're in this world, living in this world, as He prayed, Father, I pray that You don't take them out of the world, but that You're with them in this world. Putting a hedge about us, keeping our minds stayed upon Him. That we don't lust after those things. That we don't go after those things. So this morning, in the 11 verses that I had David read here in Titus 3 this morning, in those 11 verses, smack in the middle, in 5 and 6, we have the central theme to what the Lord had given Paul to talk about. And that was and is that the abundance of life is in Christ. And that He came to give us life, and that life is more abundant in Him. More abundant than anything you could ever have in yourself. And you could fill in the blank there. More abundant than the world, more abundant than myself, more abundant than my parents ever gave me, more abundant than anything I've ever had in my life. And you've had freshly married couples in here are enjoying marriage, are enjoying what they have now, but in Christ, the abundance is greater than anything you have in your marriage. Because if you don't have Him in your marriage, you don't have a marriage. You have the world's marriage. That's the point I'm making today. There's a contrast that Paul's making. That in this world, as we live in this world, our abundance of life does not come from this world. It does not come from your job. It doesn't come from your car. It doesn't come from your house. It doesn't come from your bank account. It comes from Christ. He's the abundance of life. So as we keep that thought in our minds, now let's go back to where He began this thought. where the Lord told him, which Paul, he's writing to Titus, who's a minister of the gospel also, and Paul tells him, put them, the people you're preaching to, just as he's saying it to me this morning, put them, those that you're speaking to, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So the first thing that he tells Titus is when preaching the gospel, the abundance of life that we have is in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what he's saying, because this is very important. This is what we miss on a daily basis. The abundance of life that we have in Christ enables us to bow to the authority of God. Because the authority over us is ordained of God. He's put them there in our life. Whether it's your boss, whether it's wherever it is, whoever. And listen, it may not even be your boss. You may be working in a place where you have multiple people over you because of his seniority. Because maybe you're the last one in. Maybe there's others there that you don't recognize as your boss, but they have more knowledge than you. Well, how does the Lord tell you to deal with that? Well, he tells us here, put you in mind to be subject to the powers and to obey the magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Live in peace. Peace with our leaders. We're about to embark on another, what we call an election, where someone out of maybe these two that we've heard are going to be running, maybe it'll be someone, it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, the Lord's ordained that. Now you may have thoughts about that man and what you've heard about that man, whatever that man is, or whoever it is. But what we're told in the Word is that they are ordained of God. Obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. Hold your finger here and turn over here to Romans 13 with me real quick. Paul makes this point more emphatic in Romans 13. If you'll go with me there. Look what he says in Romans 13. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Like I said, whoever's higher than you, they may have more knowledge than you on a subject. Be subject to them. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Understand that. Understand that. I sometimes chuckle when I talk to people in this world and they'll go to doctors or they'll go to those that have knowledge. And then they'll come back and tell me how much more knowledge they have than the one that's went to school and trained for that. That God's ordained and put in that position. That's the way we are in our fallen mind. We always know more. We always believe. But remember what our subject is this morning. The abundance of life in Christ. How do we have abundance of life in Christ? That's what Paul's telling us this morning. To live at peace in the authority that Christ has ordained in your life. Whoever they are. Put in that mind. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's not a good thing. As you rebel against the one who's in authority over you, you're really rebelling against God. So as we murmur about who's running the country, or as we murmur who's the boss in our job, we're rebelling against the Lord who put them there. That's who we're murmuring against. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. Look down at verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to who custom. As we are exacted taxes upon us, pay your taxes. Those authorities are ordained of God. Remember, this is all under an abundant life in Christ Jesus. We don't think of these things, do we? But there's peace there. There's peace in Christ to obey who He has put in our life over us. Fear to whom fear, reverence to whom reverence, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So he points us to loving our neighbor, loving the Lord Christ first, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's what he says to us. Owe no man anything. That doesn't mean that we don't owe something because we can't afford it or whatever. Those things happen in our life. The Lord brings it. That's an authority put over us, the loan company. He's talking about your allegiance. Do not owe any man your allegiance to where you're worshiping man, to where you're putting those people that have that knowledge over you. I mean, not over you, but over in your thoughts, higher than Christ. Owe no man nothing. So the first thing we have, as we go back to our text now, as he's telling us this today of what life in Christ is, abundance, it's submitting. Submitting to authority, whatever that authority is. Wives, in your marriage, as your husband is the head of that union, authority. And if you don't submit, and as you put yourself, you are not submitting to God. Husbands, submit to your wives as the Lord has given her to you as a helpmeet. Just as she is the position of the church. Love, you see, mutual love. As Christ loved His church, as the church reciprocates that love because He loved them first. And then we move on to verse 2. So then verse 2, he says, to speak evil of no man. To be no brawlers, but gentle. You know gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit? Showing all meekness unto men. All men. That's a fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing we have is to speak evil of no man. It's the tongue. It's the mouth. How is it then that this ties in with abundant life in Christ? When your tongue has a bridle on it. When you're not speaking everything that comes out of your mind. You're a slave to what's in your mind. You know who's tempting your mind? The wicked one. You show that you're a slave to sin and to Satan every time that mouth opens and you boast of yourself, or you speak of yourself, or you speak of what I call worthless knowledge. The Lord has told us that abundant life in Him is hearing Him. And we heard two words in this, gentleness and meekness. Both of those flow from Christ. Gentleness and meekness. Hold your finger where we're at. Go with me. Now we're going to go the other way to James 3. Let's turn it back in the other way through your Bible. Look at James 3. I want to show you something. Look at James 3. We'll begin in verse 5 this morning. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Out of the all in your body, the tongue is a little member. And it boasteth of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Your tongue can set fires and fires of hatred. And fires of sin, and causing others to sin. Listen, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity lies in your tongue. Your tongue is how you communicate that sin that lies within you. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. James is speaking this about our tongues, that our very speech ignites the fires of hell. If that don't make you worry about what comes out of your mouth, I don't know what will. For every kind of beast, of birds, serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Haven't you found that? Even in yourselves, you don't want to say the things you do. You want to live at peace. You want to keep your mouth shut. You'll go into a situation saying, whatever they say to me, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Because it's not a time for me to talk. But we can't do it. The tongue boasts of so much. It keeps saying, look at me. I want to be heard. I've got something to be said. The tongue no man can tame. It's unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Therewith, listen to what he says in 9. And isn't this true? Therefore bless we God, even the Father, out of one side of our mouth. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We'll praise God out of one side and we'll be cursing the men that He made out of the other side of our mouth. Of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And they shouldn't be. And that's what we're being told back in our text now. As we come back over there, I already told you, the middle of our text, He's going to tell us, it's not of us. Everything we need is in Christ Jesus. So as we need our tongue to be hushed, we need Christ to bridle our tongue. Don't look at yourself, because yourself, there's nothing there but iniquity. Everything you do is tainted by sin. And that's our problem. We haven't been convinced of that. And you know when you are convinced of that, you'll keep your mouth shut. Because that's what Romans 3 tells us. When the law comes, when the Lord comes and He says, thou art the man, every mouth is shut before God. What did Job do when the Lord revealed what his sin was in the matter? He put his hand over his mouth. He said, oh Lord, I see your righteousness now. When we see Him, we are at all dumbfounded. Can't speak. That's what I mean. He's the unspeakable gift. When the Lord reveals Himself, then we are dependent upon Him. That's a much different way than in our mind, going through things in our mind, telling the Lord how we need to be in every situation. Well, this is the way I should be. This is the way I have to be. This is the way I must be. When the Lord, in our example, as the Lord went to the cross and did not utter a word, as a lamb to the slaughter, He could have spoke their very death into existence. But He didn't. And here's James telling us this is what our tongue is. And we can't take an issue with Him. Because we know it's true. Out of our mouth proceeds the very poison of sin. We need the Lord to keep our mouth. And that's what He's telling us today. Is that abundant life in Christ. If you're going to enjoy the abundance of life in Christ, we've already heard, it's submission of soul and spirit to all authority, and it's keeping your mouth shut. And I don't mean not giving an answer of praise and not giving an answer of thankfulness for what the Lord's done, but keeping your mouth shut up to complaining and sinning and all of that that James just told us about. Probably wasn't what you thought when we started this message about the abundance of life in Christ. But it permeates every aspect of your life. Every aspect. You can't leave Christ here when you walk out that door this morning. We sing a song once in a while, take the name of Jesus with you. The Lord goes with His people. He doesn't go with them. He goes before them as our shepherd. And if the Lord doesn't go before us, we don't need to be going. Because there's nothing there for us. All of our answers and all of our direction and all of our wisdom is made unto us by Christ Jesus. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, holiness. Everything is made unto us by Him. So we see that's how we have peace with our leaders. That's how we have peace with mankind. And then look at verse 3. For we ourselves. How are we at peace with ourselves? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts. That's many various lusts and pleasures. Living in malice, that's hatred, and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Paul said, that's where we were. Can you say that? Can you say that's where you were? Because living in Christ, and that stuff has been left behind. Living upon Christ is living subjected to the authority over you. The Lord has put a hedge about your mouth that you're praising Him, thanking Him. Do you find that sometimes in your situation? You'll go through something. The Lord has brought you through a trial, and all you can talk about is the trial. All you can talk about is how it went in that trial. What's wrong with that? But the Lord just brought you through it. He's worthy to be praised for preserving you and to be thanked. Lord, you did this. You brought me through it. And what will we harp on in our fallen nature? Well, it was hard for me. Oh, it brought this and it brought that. That's not living in Christ. If that's where you're living, you don't have Christ. You have what the world has. That's what we're talking about today. What is abundant life in Christ? And now he tells us these things, this roll call of sin that we just read. You were that sometimes, back in the past. Turn me over to 1 Corinthians 6. You knew this was coming. For those of you that, you knew this was coming. 1 Corinthians 6. This is where Paul says in another place. Look at verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. You can't mix this. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, any kind of idolatry, adulterers, any thoughts, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And just when you said, you hear those words, fear should come over you. Because many, if not all of those sins we're guilty of in thought and deed. And then he says, and such were some of you. Were. That's past tense. Because Christ has made you a new creation in Him. He's living in you, and you are living in Him. That's abiding in Christ. That's what our text says today. And that first thing that says in our text, by the washing of regeneration, the new birth must be present. If it's not, you're just living off of doctrine. And you got doctrine warring in your mind against sin. And it ain't going to be good either way. Because if Christ isn't your life, and if He hasn't birthed you by the new birth, you can't see Him anew. You can just see Him in doctrine. And that's it. In your head. You got head knowledge. And that's what I said, dear ones. The Word of God is always a place for us to examine ourselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to examine us. We want Him to find Christ. He always points to Christ. It's the same in us. We want the Holy Spirit to point to Christ in us. Our hope of glory, our life, our sufficiency. And even if there's that glimmer in that one little instance where he points to Christ and he says, Christ is in you. His love is in you. His mercy. He'll conform you to his image. Be confident of this. That which he has begun, he will finish. That's the Christ of these scriptures. That's where abundant life is. That's what Paul is saying in our text today. Let me finish this. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what Paul pointed to over and over again. As these things are brought out about our sin and what we are, yeah, we can get down and sink into that muck and mire of sin. But he always points us to the way out. And that way out is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the life of Christ that energizes our soul. It's the abundance of life that gives us life over anything here. It's the abundance of Christ in life that shows us that's why we're not afraid of death. Because the life to come with Him is far greater than any life I have here. And that's why the one you have sitting next to you is the one you want to see Christ in them so bad. Because if Christ has been formed in you or is being formed in you, you desire that one to have Christ too so that you can be heirs together. Because you want to worship Christ one day together where you don't have your sin nature affecting that relationship. And you don't have that nastiness that you are in your unbelief affecting that relationship. You have Christ 24/7. And there won't be time there, but you know what I mean. You have Christ filling your thoughts and your mind and your heart as you love one another and love Him supremely. You won't be jealous over anything. You'll be you'll be seeing the love of Christ everywhere. That's what abundant life is in the believer. And then we have it here. We have it here when the Lord reveals Christ in one another. But most importantly, when He reveals Christ in ourselves. That's how we started. My fervent desire and wish for you is to live an abundant life in Christ. And what that does not entail, it does not entail the things of this world. I've had so many quote unquote religious people tell me the opposite. Oh, this is no, what God means for you to have is you to use this world, be as rich as you can be. Go after all that you can go after. No, that's not what Christ wants me to do. Christ wants me to sit and wait upon Him. Christ wants me to live upon Him. That's the faith He gives me, to live upon Him, not upon this world. Because now the tenor of the passage, Paul just told us these things. Now look at verse 4. He says, but after all of that, after what we just read in 3, such were us, such we were used to, we now saved, we've been washed and regenerated. Now, after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Yes, not only did He appear in time and He came and He saved us by dying on the cross. Remember, He saved us long before in eternity. A lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But He came in time. He appeared to man. He came in time and He saved His church. But this is experiential, people. This is what you experience in the soul. Because that such were some of you. When Christ comes, He shows you what you've been delivered from. He shows you what He's killed. He shows you what He's put away. He shows you the life you have now in Him is far greater than all that stuff. Now, the kindness, the mercy, and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And then verse 5, our text today, as we get to our text, not by works of righteousness which we have done. The very first thing in our text this morning is a not. It's a not. He's using the negative to show us that it has nothing to do with us. We are receiving vessels. The motive and the reason for our redemption is found in Christ and not in us. That's all of it. The motive and the reason. That's what he's saying. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy He saved us. According to His mercy. By His mercy and by His grace. Just let those three words sink down into your soul, as the Holy Spirit is willing to reveal that to you this morning. He saved us. That's the whole message. He saved us. How do we have abundant life in Christ? He saved us. He is the reason and the motive of our abundant life in Him. By nature, we depart farther and farther away from Him. But God. But God. God in Christ. Turn me over to Ephesians 2. I'll show you exactly what Paul's saying here. I know you've read this portion of Scripture probably many times in your life. I know you've heard it preached many times. I've been here many times. Ephesians 2. And you hath He quickened. That means you He has made alive. That is personal. That is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you personally. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Were dead in trespasses and sins means that His life has delivered you from that bondage of sin. That bondage of death. Were. It doesn't have dominion over you anymore. You live unto Christ. You don't live unto the dictates of this world. You don't live to the wicked one telling you what to do. You don't live in your fear of death. Because you've been quickened to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead in sins. Wherein in time past, he's talking about it again. You walked according to the course of this world. And do you ever notice, we've been there what, three times already this morning? The only time the Bible tells us to go back in our minds and in our history of our lives is to see what we've been delivered from. That's it. That's why He tells us to remember Lot's wife. She looked back. She kept going back to what she missed. What she longed for. What those lusts were. She died. She perished. She has eternal damnation. We're exhorted to only look back to see what Christ did. What He's still doing in His mortification. Because we do backslide at times. We do go back to those sins. And Christ puts them down again and shows us His blood. Shows us His forgiveness is in Him. Shows us His love. Shows us what He did on the cross. Causes us to hate that sin. That's what's the most discouraging thing for me is when talking to people and they don't hate sin. They talk about it flippantly. There's just not a hatred for it. It's just that it's like, yeah, I did it. It's so disheartening to me because I know what that means. I know that the Lord hasn't shown you that that is detrimental to your soul. And that He's delivered you from it. And He's caused you to hate it. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Do you hear that? There's a course in this world. It's the murmuring, the complaining about the authority. It's complaining about the things the Lord brings in your life. That's the course of this world. If you don't believe me, just go out anywhere today and overhear a conversation of everybody complaining about how things are. Right? We do it ourselves. But the Lord is telling us we've been delivered. We don't walk in the course of this world. We don't walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He now works in the children of disobedience. But the children of God are the children of obedience. They're made willing in the day of the Lord's power to walk in the way of Christ. There is a stark difference. There is a great gulf fixed between the two. The one set of people cannot do anything righteous. They cannot do anything holy. The other set of people can, because the holiness and righteousness of Christ is in them. And His work becomes ours by imputation. That's what we're hearing in our text. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's by works of righteousness He's done. He saved us. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's giving us new life. And the renewing, the constant showing us that new life. He does that too. We're not living on a day in our life that many, if not all, of the children of God can't even point to when that new birth came, because the Spirit moves as He listed. He's like the wind. But we can point to what we were and now what we are. And I'm not up here preaching sinless perfection, because we're still sinners. We are still sinners in need of grace. That's why the renewing is so important. He continues to show us the newness of life that we have in Christ. Because that part of us keeps wanting to gravitate back to the dead, and it will go to the dead, but the newness of life He keeps showing us over. But you have Christ. You are triumphant in Christ. He is the victory in Christ. He has come up out of that grave. He is resurrection life. He is reigning on your behalf. You are in Him. You were with Him as He took you to the cross. You were with Him when you come up out of the grave. You are with Him reigning. And only He can take you there. Only He can sincerely take you there to where your belief is the faith of the Son of God, to trust and believe in Him. Let's go keep going. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we all are outside of Christ. And that is what our old nature is. It's a child of wrath. But God. There's the difference. But God. This is the difference for the church. And only the church. Who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. And let's see how He did it. When we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with who? Quickened means made alive. Come up out of the grave. With who? Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even today. Even today our spirit reigns with Him. Even today. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul knew that we would, and we know that we would, and we do. We boast all the day long in our old nature. Every day, look at me. This is what I did. This is what, that's your old nature. Don't ever think that's anything righteous in you. That is nothing but sin. The new man of grace points to Christ. It's all about Him. He saved me. But I see grace. I see the grace of Christ that saved me from who I was. And I was absolutely deserving of sin and hell and death. And there's nothing in me that I would deem savable. But Christ has given me a new creature. A new creature that's in Christ Jesus. He saved us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's how they come. In Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does that tell us? That all that we ever do that's pleasing to God has been ordained in God before the foundation of the world and is lived out in time. What do you have to do with that? Not a thing. You are an instrument to show forth the praise and glory of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And praise God that we are. I'm so thankful that that is how He made. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you happy that Christ it's all by grace? Let's go back to our text and read 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we just saw. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, and might I add, they're buried. And all things are become new. Everything's new in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if you did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? We have no glory but in the Lord. It's all He's done. That's where abundant life is. And that's what He says, shed on us abundantly. That's what it is. Grace. That's what verse says. He shed on us His grace and His mercy abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. James 4:6 says, But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. He gives grace unto the humbled. Thank God He does the humbling. And then He graces us with the graces of faith and love and peace as He humbles us. Isn't that what we said today? Meekness and gentleness. Second Corinthians 4:15, For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. That's what our part is. Thanking the Lord for His grace. Thankful heart, praising Him. Lord, You've done this. You've done it all. Listen to what it says. It redounds to the glory of God. It goes up to the glory of God. It shines the light on the glory of God. Not unto us, Lord. Not unto us, but unto Your name, Lord, be praised. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised and honored. And in 1 Peter 1:3, Peter writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, birthed us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what abundant life is. It's resurrection life. And that's what we have in Him. And that's what He has been saying up to this point. And that's what He's going to say as we go forth from our text now. Because now with that in our minds, with that in our hearts, and what the Lord, abundant life in Christ, He keeps going. That being justified, made not guilty. Not guilty. That being justified by His grace. That's it. Not of works that we've done. Everything is by Him. If the Lord ever impresses that upon him, on you, you will be singing hymns of praise all of your days. Singing unto Him, looking unto Him, because He's done it all. And He has rescued you from certain death and hell. Justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've been made not guilty. Sin has not been imputed to us. And we are the heirs of eternal life in Christ. This is abundant life. This is what we have, the hope, a living hope of eternal life. And we can speak of that eternal life with one another. Because we have that in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, this is a faithful saying. He says that 5 or 6 times in the Scriptures. This is a fact you need to focus on. This is something of the utmost importance. This is a faithful saying. And these things, listen to what he says. These things I will that thou affirm constantly. That's what he's telling Titus. Preach Christ. Affirm it constantly. Constantly put Christ and the abundance of life of Christ in front of the people of God. You know why? Because we need to hear it. Because as soon as we get out in that door again, we're going to be polluted by the very things that are in our life. We'll always have self with us. Right now, some of you in here are struggling with self. You can't get your mind off yourself. You can't. That's right. He's showing you that only He can. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm them constantly, that they which have believed in God, that's the faith of His elect, might be careful to maintain good works. You say, why is that put in there? We already read that in Ephesians, right? The works follow. That's what faith. Faith produces Christ in the believer, and he walks in Christ. And it produces, let me tell you something, faith and your conduct cannot be separated. Faith and conduct. Because faith is living out Christ in you. And if your conduct is holy and righteous, it's because of Him. And faithful is He that calleth you to that life, calleth you into that walk, calleth you into the way that's Christ. He will do it. Praise God. These things are good and profitable unto men. Remember, this whole section's on the abundance of life. How do we live this abundance of life in Christ? He's given us much examples today. Much instruction. But then He gives us instruction in what not to do. Listen to these. Avoid foolish questions. You know what that is? What was it? The Lord said, you strain at a gnat to swallow a camel. He said, what does that mean? You're straining at every little word, trying to, that's what the Pharisees did to Jesus. They kept trying to find something to catch Him in a fault, but they couldn't. Because He spoke so freely and so gracefully and so powerfully without sin. But we do have sin. So yeah, we can go around trying to nitpick and do these things. Listen, avoid foolish questions. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. You say, well, how will I know it's a foolish question? Most of the time, the Lord is good to us to reveal it when it comes out of our mouth. He's faithful. Questioning why the Lord does things the way that He does. He's sovereign. But yet every day we're questioning that, aren't we? Oh, why are things this way? Avoid those foolish questions and genealogies. Oh man, you know, man puts a lot of hours into genealogies and studies and the genealogies in the Bible or their own lineage. Oh, I came from this line, and this line's this. Oh, look, you know, you see companies like that. You can pay a service fee to them, and they'll go find out who your ancestors were. How stupid. But you know why the world does that? Because that's what they got. They can point, I was royalty. Well, you know what I'm going to find in my lineage? I already know. Sinners. That's it. Sinners. That's what I am, too. And you're going to trace my lineage all the way back to Adam. And that's all you're going to find is sinners. Avoid foolish genealogies and contentions, arguing and strivings about the law. You know why the child of God can't argue about the law? Because he loves it. He absolutely loves the law of God. It shows forth the holiness and justice of our God. There's nothing to argue about. Yes, he's holy. He's just in everything that he does. So many people argue about, oh, God took the lives of these people. He's holy. He's just. He's sovereign. Avoid those arguments, for they are unprofitable and vain. And then he tells us something about the people we come in contact with. A man that is a heretic. I'm going to give you a simple definition. I heard Brother Mahan preach this, and I wrote it down. A heretic refers to a person who prefers his own opinion over the clear revelation of Scripture. Now let that sink in a minute. That's what a heretic is. Is someone who says, my opinion is greater than what's revealed in the Scriptures. I'm not talking about arguing over what somebody says is revealed and this is somebody. What's revealed in the Scriptures, a heretic comes in and says, but my way is better. And Paul says, avoid them. After the second and third admonition, after you've already spoken, it was the first and second admonition. After you've spoken the truth and they know where you stand, leave them. Reject them. You know why Paul said to leave them? Because they're perverted. They're perverted with their own sin. They're perverted with the devil's ideology. That's what he says. Knowing that he that is such is perverted. That's what subverted means. And sinneth, being condemned of himself. You leave that person to the Lord to do what he will with that person. And you leave it in the hands of your Lord. So today, in closing, I hope you see. I hope what the Lord has spoken to you is what is abundant life in the mercy of Christ. What is it? Am I living in the abundance of life? Has the Lord begun that life in me? Because if he has, you should be jumping up and down in your seat. I'm so excited to see what Christ will do in my life. And I don't fear what man can do to me. And all these things that he wrote today, things we all struggle with. And the remedy is life in Christ. And the good news is, that Christ said, I came to give it more abundant. That our life in him is more abundant. May the Lord add his power and clarity to his word.